Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your mercies and love toward us. Thank you for your power that is working in us. Thank you, Lord, for your grace that has been sufficient unto us. Thank you for victories you have given to us over the enemy, over sin, over the flesh, over the works of darkness, over satanic and demonic and witchcraft attacks. Thank you for great victories you keep giving us. Thank you, Father. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you, Lord, for making impossible things possible unto us. Thank you for how you strengthen our faith. Thank you for how you make us grow in faith day by day. Thank you for helping us to trust you in situations that appear hopeless. Thank you, Father. We thank you for what you have been doing through our Bible study classes. We thank you for revelations. You always open our eyes to see during the teaching. We thank you for the truths that have been exposed to us during these teachings and how those truths have set us free and how following those truths have changed our lives. Be exalted forever in Jesus' name. Oh Lord, we have come together again this evening to study your word, to learn at your feet. I ask, oh Lord, that you minister to every soul, every heart that will be here in this meeting and those that will be listening to the audio. Oh Lord of hosts, I ask that you bless every soul, bless every heart with understanding and divine revelations in Jesus' name. I pray that you will not be distracted as the teaching comes forth in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because we know you will help us beyond our imaginations. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. I believe he is in our midst, even as we learn of him, even as we learn his word. We're going to continue from where we stopped during the last class. You know that we have been looking at how to build a strong discerning spirit, or building a strong discerning spirit. And we are in part three of this teaching. And the part three says the Holy Spirit and your spirit. We have been carefully looking at the relationship between the Holy Spirit and our spirits. Yeah, the connection between them, the relationship between them. And during the last class, I talked on the point that says the Holy Spirit longs to make your spirit holy. Now, the second point is the Holy Spirit exposes all the darkness in your spirit. The Holy Spirit exposes all the darkness in your spirit. Yeah. The Bible told us that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. So God, the presence of God in a place naturally exposes the darkness in that place. Yeah. Which means the presence of God in your spirit naturally exposes all the darkness in your spirit. It naturally does that and automatically does that. Yeah, and I should say the presence of the Holy Spirit in you is always exposing the darkness that is in you, and even the darkness that is trying to come in. So both the darkness that is inside your spirit and the one that is trying to enter into your spirit, the Holy Spirit exposes them, because the Holy Spirit is so sensitive to darkness. Like, it doesn't want to see it. Yeah. He doesn't want to see any fragment of darkness in you. Yeah. And you might be asking, if the presence of the Holy Spirit exposes all darkness that is in us, that is in our spirits, then why is it that we have some believers that are still possessed by demons, controlled by demons, and they claim to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Yeah. You might ask that question. And there's a simple answer to it. The presence of the Holy Spirit in you is directly proportional to how much of your life you have surrendered to the Lord. The presence of the Holy Spirit in you is directly proportional to how much of your life you have surrendered to the Lord. Now, the meaning of the English directly proportional means that if you have surrendered 20% of your life to the Lord, the Holy Spirit will only fill that 20% space you have surrendered to the Lord. So if you have surrendered 70%, the Holy Spirit will only fill that 70% and control that 70% of your life. But if you have surrendered 100%, it means the Holy Spirit will fill all of your life, and darkness will have no place. Darkness will have no place. So if anyone tells you that Christians cannot be possessed of demons, they are lying to you. Yeah, because Christians can be possessed by demons. Yeah. The only Christian that cannot be possessed by demons is a Christian that has surrendered all to the Lord. Is a Christian that is not carnal. Is a Christian that is not being controlled by the flesh. A Christian that is not being controlled by the desires of his sinful nature. Yeah, that's the only Christian that cannot be possessed by demons. Christian that is still struggling to let go of certain attitude, habits, that Christian will be possessed and controlled by demons. Yeah, so any church that is saying that Christians cannot have demons in them and demons on them, that doctrine is a false doctrine. Let me show you a place in the scripture. Where the Bible says, give no place to the devil. Give no place to the devil. Let me look for it. So that you can see that if you give place to the devil will stay in that place you have given to him. In the scripture is in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 27. Ephesians 4:27. It says, neither give place to the devil. So any place in your life that you have given to the devil will stay there. So if you have given your heart to greed, love of money, the devil in charge of that sin will possess you. If you have given your heart, your soul, or your body to sexual sins, sexual immoralities, sexual perversions, the devil in charge of that sin will possess you. So if you have given your heart to not forgiving people, to anger, to bitterness, the devil in charge of that will possess you and control you. So the meaning of possession is more of control. Demonic possession is all about demonic control. It's not only about the demons staying inside of you. There are some demons that they are too big to even stay inside of you. But they can capture you and more like they arrest you and put you in their prison. And then they control you. They tell you what to do. They tell you how to think. They give you what to think. They give you your behaviors. They give you the behaviors they want you to manifest. They give you the attitude they want you to express. So they control your heart, make you get angry, make you have bitterness, make you hate people, make you proud. So in as much as you are under their control, they make your life miserable. They make you do their bidding because you have opened up your life to them. Don't think that all demons have to come and stay inside you. Many demons don't have to come and stay inside people to control those people. There are different ways of demonic possessions. But the point is that what did I say earlier? I said the presence of God or the presence of the Holy Spirit in your spirit is directly proportional to how much you have surrendered your life to the Lord, or how much of your life you have surrendered to the Lord. So if you make up your mind that I will live such a life that will give no place to the devil, I will surrender all my life to the Lord's control and leadings and direction, then there's no way darkness will be able to stay in you. So let us look at First John chapter 1, verse 5. First John chapter 1, verse 5. Yeah, I read. Then, okay, sorry. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. What is the message? That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So as God magnifies his presence in you, he will keep exposing everything that is in you that he doesn't want in you. Yeah, so many times when I have encounter with God, just as I'm looking at him, I mean, just as I'm beholding him, I will automatically be seeing my errors and my faults. Like, let's say, for instance, God entered into your room and then he stood before you. And then as you are looking at him, you are just knowing your faults. You just begin to know the things you have done wrong, the things you have been doing wrong. It's not as if God was talking to me. I mean, in those encounters, it was not as if God was telling me, this is what you are doing that I don't like. This is what you have done wrong. That is what you have done wrong. I just knew what I have done wrong. Like, I just knew that I have been disobedient. I just knew that I have not been living right. I just knew exactly what I have been doing wrong. Like, I just knew. Yeah, to tell you that God is a great light that exposes darkness. So you cannot claim that you know God and have fellowship with darkness. It's not possible. If you claim that, then it means you don't know him. You cannot claim that you are close to God and have fellowship with darkness. It's impossible. It is impossible. Because as you draw closer to God, your sins will be exposed to you. It happens automatically. Yeah. Your sins, your addictions, your secret sins, everything will be flying up like this, appearing to you. Yeah. And God is trying to say that if you want to come closer to me, get rid of these things. Yeah. That is what he's trying to say every time he convicts you of sin. Yeah, that is what God is trying to say. But you know what many Christians do? In those moments, God is exposing their sins to them. Maybe while they were hearing a powerful sermon, a powerful preaching or teaching, in those moments that God is convicting them of their sins, they still do not surrender. They still harden their heart. Despite the fact that God is convicting them that there is this person you have not forgiven, you should forgive. There is this thing you are doing that you should stop. There is this life you are living that you should not live anymore. despite the fact that the Holy Spirit keeps bringing up those things to their hearts every time they approach God's presence, they refuse to surrender. They refuse to get rid of those things. They refuse to repent. Yeah, because the Bible actually told us that when the Holy Spirit comes, He will convict the world of sin. Yeah. That is in John chapter 16. John chapter 16 verse 8. John chapter 16 verse 8. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Yeah. So the Holy Spirit does that a lot. He does that a lot. And this is the right attitude we should have every time the Holy Spirit does that to wrongs or in harms. You should repent immediately. You should surrender to the Lord. So every time the Lord exposes your wrongdoings to you, don't harden your heart. Repent immediately. That is how your spirit will be pure. That is how darkness will be removed from within you. Yeah, don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. Don't even wait for the next second. Don't wait till the next minute before you correct that thing that the Lord is telling you that this is wrong. Yeah, that is the easiest way to grow in your relationship with God. And that is the easiest way to get rid of darkness from your inside, from inside of you. Yeah, I wrote an article some time ago. Yeah, some of you can still go and read it. It's on my profile page on Facebook. And I said, I think the title of the post was Why Some People Might Never Be Delivered. Something like that. Yeah. Why some people might never experience deliverance. Yeah. And I was saying in that article that the Lord told me some time ago, he said the greatest deliverance is not casting out devils. Yeah, he said the greatest deliverance is not casting out devils, but shutting the door through which demons come in. Yeah, he said that is the greatest deliverance. Not casting out devils, you know, where people start rolling on the floor, people start manifesting demons, vomiting, and all of those deliverance manifestations, or people start twisting on the ground like serpents. Yeah, he was telling me that is not the greatest deliverance. That the greatest deliverance is getting rid of that thing that is bringing in darkness into you. Getting rid of that thing that is bringing in demons into you. So which means that as long as that thing is still there, you can never be delivered. That's the point. You can pray all the deliverance prayers that you know in this world. You can pray 1,000 deliverance prayer points. You can do all manner of fastings. Believe me, it is until you get rid of that pain in your life that is bringing in demons that you will be free. Yeah, it is until you stop giving place to the devil that you will be free. If you don't stop, you can never be free. So the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins so that we can be pure, so that we can get rid of those sins. I pray that the Lord help you to get rid of everything that is bringing in darkness into your life, calling and destiny in Jesus' name. So let's look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1 verse 5. John chapter 1 verse 5. It says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Yeah, let me read another translation that explains it better. John chapter 1 verse 5. It says, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it, or the darkness has not understood it. Yeah. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Why? Because the darkness cannot even see it. The darkness could not even understand it. Yeah, so that is how the Holy Spirit is operating in our lives and in the earth. He's a light that can mask itself. Yeah, the Holy Spirit is a kind of light that can shine inside darkness. Now, when we say light shining in darkness, we're talking about that light is not revealing itself. It's making itself untraceable by the darkness. Yeah. The light is inside darkness, but darkness don't know it. That is what that verse meant. The light is inside darkness, and darkness cannot know it, because that light has kind of masked itself or covered itself to deceive the darkness, to make itself not discovered, to make itself untraceable by the darkness. So which means that darkness, or maybe I should put it this way, which means that the light have that advantage over darkness, in the sense that the light can be present in darkness and darkness will not know, because usually if you switch on the light in your room, darkness vanishes immediately because light have come. Yeah, but this verse is telling us that there's a kind of light that can be shining deep inside darkness. Even as darkness has filled your room, this verse is saying that there is light there, but no one is seeing it. And darkness cannot know it. They cannot understand it. And it is because of that ability of that light, I mean the ability to make itself unknown and untraceable, is why darkness can never extinguish it. Yeah, I believe you get that point. So because of this ability of the Holy Spirit to thrive inside darkness, shine inside darkness, in a way that darkness cannot even know it. That is why it is so difficult for darkness to conquer the light. Yeah. So now, how is this connected to the Holy Spirit exposing the darkness in your spirit? Yeah. The connection is in the fact that you must believe, yeah, that in the midst of your darkness, the light of God is there. The Spirit of the Lord is there. Yeah, and that He can reveal to you the way out of that darkness. He can reveal to you what to do, even as you are in the midst of the darkness. He can show you what to do to overcome that darkness. Now, there are some Christians who don't understand the fact that God is in the midst of their darkness. So all they are asking for is, "Oh Lord, take away this darkness. Oh Lord, take away this darkness. Take away these problems. Take away this addiction. Take away this attitude. These habits." Yeah, they think the presence of the presence of God always means the absence of darkness. Yeah, that is what they think. So because of that, Satan was able to torment them and oppress them the more. I don't know if I get my point. The presence of God does not always mean the absence of the devil or the absence of darkness. So which means that darkness can be so much in a place, and even as the darkness is so much, the presence of God is also so much in that place, in the same place. The darkness is so much, you will also find the presence of God so much in that place. So, but some Christians feel like, how can I connect with God's presence in the midst of this emotional trauma I'm going through? How can I connect with God's presence in the midst of this addiction? Or my body wants to commit sin. Sin is controlling my feelings. It's like I should just see the opposite sex right now and commit sin. It's like I should just see a bottle of beer and drink. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Just as Jesus was in the world as the light, yeah, and then the kingdom of darkness could not recognize him until when he was crucified on the cross and resurrected. That was when Satan realized that Jesus was actually the light. They never believed until they crucified, until after they have crucified him. And in fact, they did not even know that they were helping him when they were crucifying him. Yeah, so in the midst of your darkness, light is there. And as a matter of fact, light is strongly inside. So stop trying to run away from problems. Stop trying to run away from challenging situations. Stop trying to run away from darkness. Yeah, because your God is in the midst of darkness. And he wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to show you who he is in darkness. Yeah. So, I learned this lesson in a very hard way. Yeah, I mean what I'm telling you right now, I learned it in a very hard way. Because I think every human being has been wired in a way to always want to reject anything that is painful, anything that is uncomfortable, anything that is inconvenient. I think human beings naturally don't want such things. Yeah, but I never knew that I was wrong trying to reject what is painful, what is uncomfortable, what is inconvenient. Yeah, and while I was trying to reject those things, the Lord was just looking at me, was not doing anything. I was praying, oh Lord, take away these pains, take away these problems, take away this darkness. And he was just looking at me. He was not doing anything. Why? Because he wanted me to find him inside that problem. Yeah. He wanted me to take away my mind from, how will I put it now? He wanted me to stop telling him to take away the darkness. Yeah. Like, oh Lord, take away this problem. Oh Lord, take away these pains. He doesn't want me to be praying like that. He wants me to calm down and look for him in the midst of that pains and challenging situations, because he's right there in the midst of that pains. And as I humble down and calm down myself and begin to seek him, I now saw him in the midst of the situation. And immediately I saw him and acknowledged how he is in that situation. The situation disappeared. I mean, the negative situation disappeared. Yeah, immediately I sought him in the midst of that problem, and then he revealed himself how he is in that problem. Now, let me give you an example. There is a way God has positioned himself in several situations of your life, especially the negative situations. There's a way he has positioned himself there, and he wants you to find him in that way. Let's say, for instance, you have a terrible sickness, and you have prayed, God, take away this sickness, and nothing is happening. And then you ask, okay, I know, Lord, I know you are inside this sickness. And then you begin to praise him. You begin to worship him. You begin to glorify him. Yeah. And then he now show you how he has defeated that sickness on the cross of Calvary. Now, I'm not just talking about you having a mental knowledge. I'm talking about you having a revelational knowledge. Like God said, to show you that you are not actually sick. Yeah, because I have destroyed this sickness. on the cross of Calvary are feeling the pains, but you are not sick. And then you are like, God, do you mean I'm not sick? And then he said, yes, because the day you became born again, you have become one with me in glory. So if sickness and death could not hold me in the grave, then it means they can't hold you, because who you are in me is not a sick person. And God is telling you that who you are in him is not a sick person. Even though here on earth you are feeling sick, you are feeling sick in your body, and immediately you just get that revelation. So I am not sick, even though doctor said I have this problem. So I'm not actually sick. So I have been healed the day Jesus died on the cross. So immediately you kind of just agree with that revelation, and then you just see the sickness disappear. I'm just giving you an example of how some people have been healed on their own without anyone laying hands on them, because they just got the revelation of who Jesus is in the midst of the sickness and pains. So that is just one among many revelations of who Jesus is in terrible situations. Yeah, we've heard of people that they have nothing to eat, and in the midst of the hunger, they sought the Lord. They said, Lord, I know you are here. I know you love me. I know I have everything that I need, because you own all the gold and silver in the world. You own all the riches in the world. I know I am rich. I know you love me. I know you take care of me. They just began to praise God. And yet the hunger is in their stomach. But they did not pay attention to the hunger. They paid attention to the Lord. And as they were praising God, suddenly someone just knocked the door and brought in what they would eat. So they were not asking God and said, God, take away the hunger. They just acknowledged the fact that God is here in the midst of my situation. And they began to fellowship with him and praise him and worship him. And in the process, miracle happened. Yeah. So which means that our problems is not us, and we are not those problems. So our problems should not or cannot change who we are and what we are and what we have in Christ Jesus. So the fact that you don't have money does not mean you don't have money, because you actually have everything that Jesus has. The Bible says that we are joint heirs with Christ. So which means that everything Jesus have, he shares with us. Yeah, because we are joint heirs with him. We are co-ownership, co-owners. Yeah, sorry for that. We are co-owners. So we own everything he owns. So which means that you actually don't lack. I mean, you're actually not poor. Yeah. You actually have everything Jesus has. But he wants you to see yourself like that in the midst of your poverty. So don't stop identifying with the problems. Identify with him, with who he is. And that is how you will see him in the midst of your darkness. Now, there was a sister that sent me a text recently. She was telling me that she's going through terrible things. Everywhere is just tight. No help is coming from anywhere. No breakthrough. No provision. Nothing to eat. It was just describing the seriousness of the problems she was going through. Then, after reading the text, I now replied. I said, you think God is not helping you? You think God is not with you, is not blessing you? Because your attention is on the problems and not on his presence. Your focus is so much on the problems, on the hardship, and not on his presence. That's why you think he's not there with you. And that's why you think he's not providing, he's not helping. Yeah, because you so much focus on the darkness and not on the light that is in the darkness. Yeah. So, this is what the Lord wants every one of us to learn. Yeah. He hears in your darkness. So you might be suffering from a problem or from an addiction. Know that inside that addiction, the Lord is there. So you even when the addiction is so strong, and then the urge is so strong in you, you just feel like, I have to do this now. If I don't do this, I will never be all right. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do it because the Lord is there. Still seek Him in the midst of that darkness. And you will see Him. Yeah. And He will rescue you. Yeah. So the Holy Spirit is in the midst of any darkness that has captured you, or any darkness that surrounds you, is in the midst of that darkness, and is ready to show you the way out. Yeah, he is ready to show you the way out. Let us also look at and when I say the Holy Spirit is ready to show you the way out, I mean he's ready to show you how weak that problem is, how weak that darkness is, because usually darkness always appears to be very strong. Every problem, whether they are sin or witchcraft attacks or whatever attacks, as those attacks come to you, they always come very strong, and they always come with an ability to make you fearful, to make you afraid of them. Yeah, even sickness and disease, they come with that spirit to make you afraid, and you start asking, you start thinking, is this how I'm going to die? Is this how my organs is going to fail? Stuff like that. So the Holy Spirit can show you how weak that darkness is, and how you can so easily conquer the darkness or the problem. That is if you allow the Holy Spirit to show you. Yeah. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Yeah, it says the word of God is quick and powerful. And then it says it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Yeah, the Holy Spirit uses the word of God many times and several times to expose the darkness that is in us. Yeah, he uses the word of God many times. And one of the things the devil does to keep you in darkness, or to keep darkness in you, is to draw you far from studying the Word of God, from reading the Word of God, from listening to the Word of God. Yeah. If you have noticed that every time you bring the Bible before your eyes to read, if you have noticed that you always sleep every time you open the Bible to read, to study, if you have noticed that is the time once sleep will just come upon you, and then you now start slumbering and sleeping, that shows that there is a darkness in you that Satan don't want the Word of God to expose. Yeah. That is the sign. If you always fall asleep, every time you want to study your Bible, it means there's a darkness in your spirit that Satan don't want the Word of God to expose. Yeah. So that you can repent and be free. Yeah. So don't let that spirit that is making you sleep, don't let that spirit overcome you. Yeah. Do everything possible to be close to the Word of God. Yeah. Because the Word of God is a weapon in the hand of the Holy Spirit to set you free, to deliver you, to revive you, to change you. Yeah. So don't allow anything stop you from reading and studying the Word of God. Yeah, if you allow that thing stop you, it means you don't want the darkness in your spirit to die or be uprooted. You know, we are talking about building a strong discerning spirit. You can't have darkness in your spirit and expect that your spirit will be able to discern realms in the spirit world. It's not possible. Yeah. It's not possible. In fact, one of the things that makes your spirit a strong discerning spirit is the holiness of your spirit, the purity of your spirit. Yeah, that is one of the things that makes it so strong in discernment, the purity of your spirit. Now, if you are not doing things that will let the Holy Spirit expose the darkness in your spirit, then it means that you will not discern anything. There are people that inside their rooms are a lot of serpents and scorpions. I mean, invisible serpents and scorpions. They sleep with those creatures every day, and they are so dead spiritually that they don't know that every day they sleep with dangerous demonic creatures in the house. They don't know. In fact, some people are witchcraft agents. They come to have their meetings inside their house, inside their rooms. Witchcraft agents, I mean witches and wizards, because they can travel in the street, they can make themselves invisible. Yeah, so some people, those agents of darkness, they come into their rooms, do all kinds of meetings, corrupt their kitchen, pollute the foods they have in the kitchen, do all forms of wicked things inside the house, and they cannot see anything. I mean, demons and agents of Satan enter into your house, poison all your food, they do all manner of things overnight, and then you are just sleeping there You don't even know what they are doing. You can't even see what is going on. You are, that means you're dead. I mean, your spirit man is dead. And one of the things that makes your spirit man dead is when it has darkness in it. When it is not pure, when your spirit is not pure, it will not discern. You won't even see anything in dreams. You won't even see that the devil is planning something. You won't even see anything because your spirit is so dead. Yeah. So you cannot be committed and devoted to studying the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God and not see things. I mean, and not see divine revelation. It's not possible. It's not possible. Yeah, you will see things. Yeah, a lot of things will be exposed to you. You can just try. Decide to take seriously the Word of God, reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, take it seriously maybe for like few weeks. And make sure your heart is in agreement with everything the Holy Spirit exposed to you in the Word of God. Not that you're only looking for those things in the Word of God that suits your feelings. Yeah. But make sure your heart is open and your heart is in agreement with everything the Holy Spirit will expose to you from the Word of God. And you continue to study and meditate on God's Word like that for weeks. And then check if you will not get revelations. Check if your spirit man will not start discerning things in the spirit world or in the spiritual realms. Yeah, it's not possible. You will be activated to discern both the mind of God. You'll be activated to discern the realms of God, and even the demonic realms. Your spirit will be activated to discern darkness when you let the Word of God enter into you and you obey it when it corrects you. Because some people, when they read some places in the Bible and it's talking things, or maybe I should say, that place they read is talking against what they do. It's talking against their behavior. They just close the Bible and say, this studying of the Bible is hard. Yeah, because everything I'm doing is what the Bible is teaching against. So they just close the Bible. Don't do that. Yeah, when the Bible corrects you, heed to the correction. So gradually your spirit man is being flushed of all darkness, or I use the word purged. Your spirit man is being purged of all darkness as you open up your mind to study the Word of God, and everything the Holy Spirit exposes to you, you let it in, you swallow it, you believe it, and you obey it. Yeah, gradually, the Word of God begins to sweep away all darkness from your spirit man. And gradually, you start getting pure and delivered. Yeah, it is not all deliverance that happens through fastings and prayers. A lot of deliverances happen just through the Word of God, through reading and meditating on the Word of God and obeying it. And praying according to what you have read. Yeah, a lot of deliverances happen when we do that. Yeah. Let us look at the book of Acts of the Apostles. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5. Verse 1-4. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, verse 1 to 4. Yeah, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back the part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own? Was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Verse 5. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. Yeah. That is Acts chapter 5, verse 1 to 4. Now, what is it that I want to bring out from this passage? Yeah, you can see that Peter was not there when Ananias and his wife were planning the deception. Yeah, because somebody went and sold his land and brought the money to the apostles. Yeah, you will see that one in chapter 4. So there was a man who went and sold his land and brought the money to the apostles so that they can use it to, they can distribute the money to among the brethren, especially those that are in need. Yeah, and because the man did it with a good heart, with a sincere heart, with a heart with good conscience, clear conscience, yeah, everyone was happy. So this man and his wife, they also want to, they want the church to also kind of praise them they want the church to, or maybe I should say they seek honor from the church or praise from the church because they saw how the church was excited when that man sold his own land and brought the money to the apostles. So they also went to go and sow the possession. We don't know whether it's a land or a building. Yeah, but because their motive was wrong, they felt like this money is too much to give the apostles. So they felt like, let us keep a part of it. So we just tell them that we sold this possession and we sold it for this amount. So they conceived that deception, that lie, and they were going to come to the church, come to the church leaders, come to the apostles, and also lie to them. But as that man was standing before Peter, Peter was able to discern the darkness in that man. He was able to discern that something is wrong. Yeah, he was able to discern that something is wrong with this giving. This is not a good giving. Yeah. There's a negative, or maybe I should use the word, there's an impure motive behind this giving. So he was able to discern the darkness in that man. And he was able to speak everything they planned in secret. Yeah, because they thought the the apostles are blind people. They thought their spiritual eyes are blind and they will not find out, they will not know. In the same way, God wants ministers like you and I to be so strong in discernment that you can see beyond the so-called good work some people claim that they are doing in the house of God. That you can be able to discern the motives hidden, in their hearts, why they are doing what they are doing, even including giving. So which means that there are some gifts that church leaders should not even collect from the givers. There are some gifts that church leaders, ministers should not collect, because that gift is coming from the darkness in their hearts. It's coming from a dark motive, a dark spirit. So, and if a gift is coming from a dark spirit, it means that the darkness we enter that gift, the darkness that is inside that person, we combine with the gift that person has brought. And if you are a minister of God, you're not sensitive, and you receive that gift into your ministry, the presence of that gift can become a legal ground for demons to torment your ministry, to begin to oppress people in your ministry. And there's some ministries that they used to experience the power of God before. They used to experience mighty miracles before. And then suddenly, they can't experience God's power anymore. Miracles don't happen anymore. Some of those ministries is because they collected gifts that should not be collected. I remember some time ago, that the Lord was telling me, he said, I think I was praying, I was asking him for financial blessings, especially that more blessings come from the ministry, that people give to the ministry. So he was telling me that to bless you is not a problem. I mean, God was telling me that to bless you is not a problem, but it is how that is the problem. That there are actually a lot of people that have things to give, but he's more sensitive to how they give. So he is more sensitive to what is the motive in their hearts for giving. Why are they giving? What do they want? So he was telling me that he has stopped many people that want to give to our ministry. He said he has stopped them from giving because he saw that they had very wrong motive. They had very wrong mindset. So to tell you that there's a darkness that follows what people give. And God don't want that darkness. So if you have a lot of money, but your heart is like Ananias and Sapphira, that your giving to God is not pure. It's just about self-praise. So that you can be praised. So that you can boast about it. Then God don't need your money. The church don't need that kind of money. Yeah. Because that money is of that of the darkness. That money is going to carry the darkness that is in your heart and will bring it into the work of God. And God don't want that. So ministers of God need to have a very strong discerning spirit that could lead, you know, that could see into the darkness that are inside of people who are appearing to be good people, who are appearing to have good intentions. Yeah, so we must have that strong discerning spirit. Now, before I round up the teaching, do you think you can discern such great darkness as a minister of God if your whole spirit is not pure? If, let's say for instance, let's say for instance, Peter in that scripture has not overcome the love of money, how will he know that Ananias and Sapphira have such bad intention behind the giving they wanted to do? Yeah. So if you as a minister, you have not conquered certain darkness in your soul, in your heart, you will not be able to discern the darkness that is in other people, that is in others. Yeah, if you have not conquered those darkness in you, you will not be able to discern the darkness in others. So if you as a minister or as a Christian, you have not conquered, let's say for instance, you have not conquered sexual lust in your heart, in your spirit, then if someone is coming, if devil sends someone just to seduce you and to make you fall into sexual sin, if devil send that person to you, you will not know that devil has sent that kind of person to you. Because you still have the darkness of sexual lust in you. Now, there are so many women that devil have sent to me that immediately I was talking with them, I knew that devil sent them to seduce me. I mean, I'm talking of people that I've not even seen their face, but just chatting on the phone. Yeah, a lot of them. Yeah, it would have been easy to discern if I have not conquered that lust in me. So the darkness you have not conquered in you, you cannot discern it. It is not possible. Yeah, you will not be able to discern it. Yeah, there are people that even by shaking their hands, I can list out more than four kinds of darkness that is in them just by shaking their hands. I just know it. That this and this and this and this is inside these people, or is inside this person. Yeah, but that wouldn't have been possible if I have not conquered those similar darkness that is in them. I don't know if you're getting the point. Yeah, so it's so important that you let the Holy Spirit remove all the darkness that is in you. So when the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, repent immediately and surrender. That will help you to develop a strong discerning spirit. Yeah, I'm going to stop here. For those of you that have questions, you can ask on our Telegram platform. Yeah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this teaching. Thank you for showing us how important it is to approach your presence with with an open heart. How important it is to approach your word with an open heart that is willing to be convicted and corrected. Thank you for letting us know that you are able to expose everything that is dark in us. Be exalted forever in Jesus' name. I pray for every one of you who have had this teaching, that the grace of God will appear in your life to get rid of all darkness that must die, all darkness that must leave your life. I pray that the grace of God appear in your life right now to do it in Jesus' name. Every darkness you have been partnering with in your life, every sin, unclean attitude, sinful habit you have been partnering with, I pray for you that from now you shall develop a strong anger in your spirit to disconnect from such darkness in Jesus' name. Every demon that have taken possession and control of your life because of certain sins you have refused to let go, I decree that as you repent, the hand of God shall set you free from such devils in the name of Jesus. You shall no longer be oppressed and tormented by darkness in Jesus' name. I pray that you shall be so strong in your spirit to discern every operation of darkness going on in your environment, in your rooms, in your kitchen, in your sitting room, in every part of your environment, and even in your calling, ministry, and destiny. I pray that you shall be so strong in your spirit to discern everything the devil is doing against your life in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered in Jesus' mighty name. I have prayed. Amen. Amen.
Goodbye.